Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Game time decisions begins now. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid, and I'm also on the loudest station in the nation, SB Nation Radio, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, as we've got a lot of stuff to get to on this Monday edition of Game Time Decisions. National Football League news, a lot of National Football League news over the weekend that will break down, of course, and down the stretch they came as Bob Baffert remains the king of the sport of kings. Right now, as Baffert takes the Division One and Division Two, Arkansas Derby, the UFC is back, NASCAR a couple of weeks away from being back. Baseball has a new day, a new plan. Yeah, Cam, a lot of stuff to get to. What's going on?
Hey, first of all, I think we got to give some congratulations to you and legendary Lindsay. It's amazing we can't actually do trifectas for Sims because we got Secretariat, as we call the Stone Cold Lock, with Seattle too. Seattle Slough and Citation. 1, 2, 3. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you know what? If there would have been a pick four, I would have won it if I would have been able to box it.
Yeah.
Secretariat ended up closing at +104 when it was all said and done. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, the sim race. It was pretty fast. Like, they just sort of, here it is, and then boom, it was over.
It's like, it starts, it's done. I'm like, really?
Yeah, like, it was at 5:43, I think, and they started talking about it at, like, 5:40. It was like, oh, we got 2-3 minutes of it, and, you know, what's going to happen? They pick Secretariat and Citation. But it was a lot of fun. It was nice to have an afternoon and evening of horse racing. And, you know, it was enjoyable, the Triple Crown simulation race. And it was nice to have some races from Oaklawn on a Saturday night. You know, Charlatan ended up going off as a massive favorite, 1-5, and very impressive run by Charlatan. We got lost in the shuffle there, but we cashed the second race after Cam. You know, I like Nadal. I didn't want to get in front of a horse that was 3-for-3, now making 4-for-4.
Yeah, no, good pick by you, Gabe. I put him in exotics, but across the board, my horse got boxed in Farmington Road, and he was one of the one I like, a Stone Cold Closer. But that just said, you said the most important thing off the top. Bob Baffert is basically sitting with pocket aces going into the Kentucky Derby. Charlatan's in the Kentucky Derby. Nadal's in the Kentucky Derby. And I can tell you this, kind of like we talk about with people, guys, listen to the program before. If you have your books, I saw Charlatan at +550 and Nadal at +675 on one of my books. You could have got before those races. I can guarantee you one thing. One of those horses goes off at 2-1. The other one might be even. They will be 2 out of the 3 favorites in the Kentucky Derby, and you might have got them at 5-6-1. So shopping ahead sometimes is smart, Gabe, but you said it. I say it. Bob Baffert, he is the king, and he's got 2 of the favorites in the race, and we haven't even done the Saratoga meet yet. Unbelievable stuff for Baffert's barn.
Yeah, Charlatan went wire to wire.
Yeah, he's a money horse.
From the rail as well. He just took off and and never looked back. Very difficult to do against horses of that quality. And, you know, Nadal, it was funny because Jerry Bailey stated before the race that, you know, Charlatan was going to win for sure, but I'm not sure about Nadal. And if you remember, that was our thought process originally. And I ended up changing my mind. I was like, you know what? I think Nadal is going to win. I don't want to, like, get in front of this horse. And Bailey even brought it up. He goes, Charlatan's smoking everybody all the time. He goes, Nadal has won 3 races, but he barely won 2 times. Mm-hmm. He said he kind of got lucky and, you know, something bad happened to the other horses, etc. But once again, he proved how good he is. And even though Charlatan, like, went wire to wire and blew everyone away, Cam, Nadal actually ran slightly faster.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing, too, because to your point, some horses, they can't take a fight. Charlton hasn't been in a fight. He's basically right now, he's Nelson Muntz. He's the bully in the schoolyard. Ha ha, just beating you up. And who's going to step up to him? Is Bart going to throw some sand in his eye? What's going to happen? Because he hasn't been tested before. But Nadal took a punch a couple times. And you saw King Guillermo and a couple other horses down the stretch. He heard them come and he's like, don't worry about it. I got this. So that's something to be very, very aware of. You have to understand when a horse comes up and basically almost takes the lead off, can he take a punch? Can he react? And can he spread away? Nadal, he fits all the boxes right now. World-class horse. And hey, what can I say, Gabe? You know, when you're wrong, I tried to get too cute with dogs, and that's what happens. But it was a great day of racing for sure.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I wasn't really mad after the fact, because look, the trifecta for the first race, the Arkansas Derby Division One with Charlton, it only paid $13.
Exactly.
Right? And so it paid $13. It's like, it's not like I missed out on a big score here. And it was kind of tricky to pick who was going to finish second and third. We liked Dan O'Dor. He was sort of in the mix, yeah. But not enough, you know, to put us in the money. But we ended up walking away with a little bit of money when it was all said and done. We got Nadal at plus 120. The Secretariat bet was the one that upset me after.
Me too.
Like I was mad after, where I was thinking, I was like, man, this is almost like once in a lifetime opportunity that you had a chance to bet on Secretariat. Like, they made it nerve wracking, right? I was like, wow, is he not going to win this thing? And then boom, he came on down the stretch. But right after, and it closed at plus 104.
Yeah.
So it was in the plus 100 range, plus 104 or so. But after the fact, Cab, that's one of those things you're like, man, should have loaded up on that one.
I'm with you, Gabe. And, you know, we've had Super Bowl. Sometimes you overextend yourselves. A trip to Vegas, where'd the money go? But I thought about it all day, too. Blessing texted me. He said one of his buddies put $1,000 on it, you know, and easiest $1,000. Like, yeah, it did get scary. Seattle slew led in the race. But the bottom line is this. They weren't going to not let Secretariat win. And right before it went off, it was funny. On some of the books, you saw plus 105 became like minus 175. Like, there was a lot of steam right before that race went off. In my books, I pay attention to that stuff. So I was first thinking, maybe Citation, because his line didn't move, and Seattle Slew's line didn't move either. I was like, And then they gave me a little bit more on American Pharoah. I'm like, he might finish top three, finish fifth, right? So it was very interesting to see the late steam. And as you say, Gabe, steam burns. But in this case, it paid the price. And you're right. Like, we are never going to have a chance to have one of the best, if the best horse in the history of racing, often even money in a simulation where we could have made like tons. But hey, I should have bet more on it too, buddy.
You know, and if you look back actually at history, and it's funny because on Saturday afternoon or so, I started to buy into Seattle Slew. And I basically just thought, all right, out of all these horses, really, is Seattle Slew not going to be in the mix? I'm like, Slew's going to be in the mix here.
Yeah.
But I thought back to the conversation that I had with Lindsay, regular from the Meadowlands racetrack from Capper's Corner. We did a horse racing special on Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast, last week. And the fact is, listen, everyone kind of knows Secretariat's the best horse, right? That he's the fastest horse. He ran the Derby the fastest. But what I don't think a lot of people do realize is the horse that ran the second fastest in history actually is Citation.
Mm-hmm.
And Citation was in, what, like 1948? It's amazing to me just how fast those horses were in the 40s. I mean, there was great horses in the late 30s, into the 40s. So Citation in the history actually has the second fastest time. So it's not shocking that he was right there in the mix when it was all said and done. But they made people that bet big on Secretariat sweat it out a little bit, I'll tell you that much.
They did, Gabe. But another thing is, in the 40s, I don't think horses got, I think there was less monkey business, even though it was still the sport of kings. Think about it. The synthetics and the things that are involved right now. Zig, zig, zig. What's happening in the barn? Is he getting a little shot here and there? But yeah, I got to believe in the 40s, the technology was a little bit lessened. But yeah, you're right. Those horses back then, they're absolute legendary to do it without all the monkey business that we see today.
Hey, listen, it was nice just to have a sense of normalcy once again, right?
Yeah.
You know, you sort of forget about everything that's going on in the world for a couple of hours. Like,
great
the same
day.
Thing with the National Football League draft. It's just like, all right, you just into the draft. Who's taking who next? You're into it. And same thing, I was just into the broadcast. You know, I watched the previous Kentucky Derbies. I put it on at about 5 o'clock, 4:30, whenever it started. So I watched all the previous Kentucky Derbies. They did their thing. Mike Tirico, you know, spoke to Gary Stevens and to Bob Baffert, et cetera. So it was a good broadcast of just horse racing. And then the actual races from Oaklawn on Saturday night, was nice. And instead of being depressed after, I thought, you know what? All right, we had this racing. Next Saturday night, we'll have some UFC.
Yeah.
And so it's almost now, you know, the events are starting, and they're going to start playing Korean baseball, actually, Ken, this week, in the middle of the night, actually. A little Korean baseball action.
Yeah, for all you late owls like Morenci, those birds that don't go to sleep, you got, you got a little Korean baseball there. You said it, UFC, it's happening. You see the other leagues, too. Soccer starting to talk about some stuff. It's slowly getting there. We talk on the show about NASCAR. They're not screwing around. Golf's in June. You're right, Gabe. I see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't know what it is in NYC. It's the nicest day of the year here right now, over in the 20s, mid-20s. Kids are outside right now. Neighbors, they're still social distancing. Everyone's talking to each other. People had a bounce in their step. The hoses are out, cleaning the driveway. It was weird. It's almost like we had a congregation of neighbors today. It's like, hey, I haven't seen you in 4 months. How you doing, type of thing. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, people are getting impatient, and I think because it's sunny out that somehow the virus is gone.
Yeah, no, the virus lives.
It's not.
He's lingering.
Yeah, it's not, but listen, people's patience is starting to run thin right now. But still, it still doesn't mean, and as far as like the leagues are concerned, we're going to talk NFL football with Mike Blewett a little bit later on. The NFL has a schedule set to come out on May 9th. Mm-hmm. Yet from what I understand, it's the regular schedule. Like, it's not any sort of, like, they haven't adjusted anything, really, which is kind of pointless. I think the deal is they were supposed to release it then, so they're going to do it anyways. They're trying to stay on time, on time and date, you know, stay ahead of the stick, so to speak, not fall behind. And but it's eventually going to catch up to them. I know there was a tentative they're talking about. We already know about the mid-October potential start. Then there's talk about if they have to, a 14-game or a 12-game season, because they don't want to wait forever to start. But I'm pretty confident there will be NFL football. We just don't know. We just don't know when exactly it's going to kick off. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like, you know, like you said, there's definitely a push right now. And there's, imagine, you look at the people's patience, that how thin it is now, Cam. Imagine, like, if you tell people there's no NFL football in September, like, people are going to start burning things down.
Yeah, that's a great point. You bring up, like, right now people are at the end of the ropes and we can't screw around. We've been this patient now. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? The recipe, we baked at 75%. Like, just don't worry. We will get to the table. We will eat. Don't ruin it. Don't open up the oven. Just wait. But the thing is, people, they see the sun. They see their kids want to get outside. But we can't afford, Gabe, to screw this thing up. We put too much work into it right now. And if you were going to go out there and do all this stuff, you think sports is gone for a year? Let's talk a couple. So you got to think about the big picture. We're moving forward. People are smart. They're coming up with stuff. So, you know, let's stay positive. I agree with you. I had a great weekend. I watched Oaklawn from race one there. I basically played ponies all day. It was a great day. It felt good again. And I'm with you. And I think the NFL is going to go. Hey, remember, they've gotten the season sked out too, right? Like the Bills, who they play. I think they play Seattle this year. They're dealing with like the NFC West. So those matches are already there. We know who's playing who. They're just going to come up with a formulated schedule. The draft went off without a hitch. And I got to believe, you know what? They do have to stay on sked. And I think it's a good time to release it very, very soon, in about a week's time.
Well, one thing with the National Football League, unlike the other leagues, it doesn't look like they're not down, or they don't think they can pull off any quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a non-starter for them, basically. Yeah. Remember, we thought, well, they could do it if they had to. I think they're realizing we could do it, but it's going to cost a lot of money. And it's next to impossible. It's next to impossible. But the problem is, though, the leagues, and we get back to it all the time, guys, the leagues, the television networks, the fans, we all want them to play. A lot of these players aren't in a hurry to play right now in these leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, we know what's going on in Germany right now. They're trying to get the soccer league back, Cam, and guys are getting it. Like, guys are getting it. We talked about the guy in Juventus that's got it four times now. Right. So there's, you know, the Cologne soccer team, three guys got it at once, essentially. So this is a problem. What happens if half a team gets it? You got to shut that team down. And then what? They got to forfeit the game. Right. So like, as you stated, once you do it, you want to be able to do it for real without having issues and having to turn back. So as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, and this is Major League Baseball's preferred plan. I like the quote they have, preferred. Yeah. Well, whatever.
What was the other plan? It wasn't preferred.
Well, the if you remember, they had one where they were like, "Oh yeah, we think we can start May 1st." Yeah, well, we're past May 1st, right? Yeah. When they were going to get back to action.
We laughed at that one.
Yeah. And I've said all along, listen, guys, August is what we're looking at here. Only because we're already into May right now. All these leagues would take weeks or a month or so to get ready anyways. And so, you know what, late July, August. Remember I told you I thought NBA kind of mid-August type thing, late August, would come back. So Major League Baseball's new preferred plan, according to Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times, the preferred plan would be to start play in late June or early July with as many teams as possible playing in their home parks, just at the Rays at Tropicana Field, while competing in the regular divisions with an abbreviated schedule of at least 80 games. The Arizona scenario, in which all players and staff would essentially live and play in a colonized bubble, is much less likely now. So too is having all the teams play at spring training sites and competing in cactus and grapefruit leagues. I don't know why they don't do that. That's the best one. That's the best one. Like, so, they already live there. They already have places that they're used to sleeping. You already have the parks. I don't understand why they think they can go to their home stadiums. Why not, Cam, just play in like the Florida and Arizona in the cactus and grapefruit league stadiums?
Yeah, and you have to remember something. The new plan doesn't make a lot of sense when you're dealing with different various states. Some of the states are doing quite well right now. Even though numbers are stabilizing, New York and California, the way it's being handled, those are big states, huge epicenters with Los Angeles and NYC and everything else. Hell, Gabe, I've been watching Buffalo news. Their outbreak is awful right now. Like, Buffalo's taken a very, very bad step backwards recently. They were doing well, and then all of a sudden, boom, it hit them hard. That's what you said. It's an invisible fighter. You don't know when it's going to come up and get you. And I agree. They already have the facilities there. They'd be able to spread it around, and it makes more sense. I don't think having these players in the home stadiums makes sense for everybody. Some teams can do it, but a lot of them can't. I agree with you. The Cactus League scenario was good with the divisions all split up. 3-3 in the American League, 3 in the National League, 6 total. Geographically, it worked. I thought that was their best plan.
It makes the most sense because geographically, you don't have to travel this way. So you eliminate this. You don't have to put the players in a bubble, so to speak, but you just tell them, don't go out, right? You know what I mean? You go back to your room, to the state chill. And you raise a good point. This is the thing, that if you start in different stadiums, okay, you don't know where suddenly there's going to be a problem down the road.
Correct.
It's right? Invisible. It'll be like, oh, you know what? We can't go and play at Shea Stadium. We can't go to Yankee Stadium. Well, where are you going to play? And you know what? You got to forfeit the games. And you can't, like, have an imbalanced schedule where, oh, the Detroit Tigers are out now. You know what I mean? They were in, but no, we can't go there anymore this weekend. It's not happening because of this. And you can't just make the schedule up on the fly all the time. Like, it's sort of, to me, it would mitigate the issues by being in Arizona and Florida. I don't know. That was the best idea that they've had all along. That was the best idea they've had.
You're right. You know, we're wrapping up pretty soon. But then you don't have to also, disinfect all those stadiums. You have the core stadiums there. You could take care of business there. Actually, it makes no sense to do it any other way.
No, it really doesn't. It's funny because there's been a lot of crazy ideas thrown out there by leagues, and a lot of them have been unrealistic. Out of everything, this is one of the better ones.
Damn right.
You know, the cactus and the grapefruit league, and they basically just keep, guys, the spring training leagues together. So, yeah, it's unorthodox, but so what? People just want baseball. You already have the stadiums and
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table. with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabe Moretti. I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Dan Stewart, Mike Bloom. We'll step up a little bit later on. SB Nation Radio, weekdays at 6. You can catch us right here following Scotty Farrell, who goes coast to coast, 4 to 6. All right, we're talking about Major League Baseball, and, you know, now they want to play as many games as possible in their home stadiums, which is just dumb. Like,
it's
a dumb story. It's a waste of time. Because I'll tell you right now, they're not playing baseball at Yankee Stadium 6 weeks from now. Like,
so
I don't see how they think they're going to want. Why do you even want players driving into these stadiums?
I honest to God, like, if I was the editor of the paper, I wouldn't even let that story go to press. 32 stadiums, you're talking about Shea, you're talking about Yankee Stadium, you're talking about other ones in those hubs with the Dodgers, Chavez Ravine, and all the other things. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. Say there's a problem there, too. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. You have to worry about that many facilities, that many teams. It becomes a train wreck. The goal of containing a pandemic is to get many people close and possible in distances where we can get things done, play a couple games, and reduce travel, reduce using all these other stadiums. 3 is enough. If you wanted to have it in Texas, you wanted to have it in Arizona, but the spring training idea was fantastic. And now you're telling me you're going to open up the United States with all these stadiums. That's just stupid. It's actually not even just dumb. It's just, I don't even know the word for it, Gabe. It's dangerous. And the foresight into this is they obviously haven't thought about it through. I think they're starting to panic a little bit too, but they did have a good idea. I think that's the one that they have to keep to.
They're in denial, I think.
Yeah.
It seems like nobody's on the same page. It's like real life right now. It's like the task force. Like, no one's really ever on the same page at all. In which, you know, here's Rays manager Kevin Cash. I'm more optimistic today than I was 10 days ago. It sounds like there's enough thought from so many different corners. Players, owners, league officials, and the industry as a whole is really trying to put their heads together and make something come together. It's like, no, there isn't. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you guys talk about something doesn't mean you're putting good thought into it. There's a saying, don't confuse activity for achievement.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You guys are active, but what are you achieving here? So, like, what thought have you guys put into this? Well, geez, we'd like to play in our home stadiums and get as many games as possible. That's your thought? Like, what? So what? Everything magically is okay. And as you stated, we're talking about, you know, you throw in, you have the Dodgers, and there's a few teams in various cities, the same cities, Chicago, New York, et cetera. But you're talking about like 26, 27 different cities, whatever it is. So what, you really think you're going to be able to travel in and out this often? Like, football, you can pull it off. It's once a week.
Once a week, exactly.
You're getting on one plane, you're flying, you're coming back. You guys really just think magically in July, Major League Baseball teams are getting on planes and flying around? And
I'll tell you what,
there's no fans, that the virus won't be in the air and just around. Like, it's just so incredibly stupid, their idea.
It is. Here's another thing, too. Okay, so you're going to do it that way. What are you going to do? Play doubleheaders every day because of the time frame, too? You don't think after a while the players might get a little bit tired? Like,
they're talking about two doubleheaders a week.
That's okay.
And there was talk about making a doubleheader 7-inning games.
Baseball purists. Yeah, 7 innings in comparison. I know that advantages Yankees. If you got a great bullpen, you turn it into like a 4-inning game. Hey man, here's my starter. Ding ding ding, you're done. Like, every team that has a good back end would love a 7-inning game. Just
I don't think
makes them more dangerous.
I don't think they'll do it. I think there'll be a little bit of pushback, but I think, like, even moving forward, it's something that they would look at. You know, and you talk about purism. They've already that's left a long time ago, bro. I mean, you imagine telling like Sparky Anderson, "Yeah, no, your pitcher has to stay in for 3 hitters now." Hey, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to eventually have a pitch clock for real. Eventually, baseball is lagging. It is. Like, if you look at the, big, you know, the big picture in the future and stuff, they don't sell, like, you know, they're not popular with the demographic that bodes well for the future for them. Like, baseball fans are old, Ken. You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand that. And also, even like, from our perspective,
some people bring their kids to the game. I'm not saying kids.
No, it's nice. It's nice to keep the tradition, but I will look at it this way.
They're a strong three behind NBA and NFL. NBA.
Yeah. And how other sports, like we work for Sports Grid, and this is us, we're gambling at fantasy. Baseball's probably been the least to embrace changes in the sports as well. Football understands who butters their bread. The NBA understands it too. Daily fantasy sports, FanDuel, DraftKings, and the such. Hockey, Will Hill, let's have bets during the periods of the games. Baseball's can kind of like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? They don't really, you said it. They're kind of like in Pleasantville, the movie. They like it their old way. Apple pie, you know, no crime. Like, they kind of got to move in with the times.
Yeah, well, look, you know? You look at DFS, it's a good point. If you look at DFS, people that have never really played NASCAR DFS will play it. They'll be, you know, NASCAR, that was pretty fun, actually. Yeah, let me do it again. That was pretty cool. People, you know, NBA, I'm not a massive NBA fan, but I'll roll the dice on this. Same thing with NFL. Everyone likes NFL. You'll notice casual people don't play it, baseball. Like, the casual guy isn't going to put together a DFS lineup because he looks at it and it's like, oh, my God. It's going to take me 4 hours to put this lineup together. I don't know. There's like, and another thing is, a lot of like modern people, they never heard like of any of these players, right? Like half, more, I don't know, I think like half the league right now is from Latin America, right? So there's a lot of players that people don't know. We talked about it. Like Derek Jeter is still like the most recognizable baseball name amongst like the average person. Which is a problem when you consider the guys and played for a while, right?
You're absolutely correct.
They don't market themselves. No one knows who Mike Trout is, right?
It's a great point you bring up about DFS, too. Like, when you look at other sports, like when we play, Gabe, we could do a millionaire lineup like you're buying the lottery ticket and you have the slate. Hockey, you have the slate. Baseball, they have the 12 noon slates with these games go off, the 3:35, 4 o'clock, the 7 o'clock. Also, the way it's broken down, too, it's very different than the other sports. There's a lot more thinking. You're right. It takes more time to put it together. Basically, people who love math and have a lot of time to kill with kids, and it's like, hey, honey, I got 5-6 hours. Let's play the baseball.
Well, what you do is you sign up for Daily Roto.
That's what you do. Daily Roto will help you when you have baseball problems.
Yeah, you save yourself a lot of time and grief. You sign up for Daily Roto and let them put the lineup together for you. Well, listen, even betting on baseball today is time consuming as well. But as bettors, we're used to that, right? And you know, you look at baseball, man. It takes hours to go through the card. You know, to go through everything to get all the stats. You know, if you really want to get your information and your data right. And if you're betting and playing DFS, it's a whole afternoon. It really is. Like, and that's what makes NFL football so popular. We talked about like the once a week thing. People don't have to work at it every day, Cam, right? They can do a little research during the week and they just place their, you know, put their lineup in. Baseball. And dude, you see in baseball, you put your lineup together and there's like three guys aren't even in the lineup every night. You're like, oh boy, I gotta take them out. I gotta replace this guy.
Great.
Like
Rain delay. Where's my pitcher in? Yeah, I know. There's a lot of problems.
I miss fantasy sports, actually, too.
I miss,
you know, I miss betting, you know, daily and stuff on these games. And I miss the actual games and stuff. But I do miss playing a little some DFS action, especially with being in the playoffs right now. The NBA playoffs will be rolling along. But listen, man, all we can do is deal with what we've got. And what we do have now, we've got the UFC coming up. But we'll get into the UFC in a couple of minutes. What we have is we said we've got some NFL news. So Andy Dalton finally, the Dalton saga comes to an end. And he signs with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
nobody saw this coming. Once again.
And, no.
You know, once again, and not to throw people in the media under the bus because we're in the media and I'm not right all the time. But I always say this. Players never sign with teams that you think they are. Like, whenever you hear, oh, you know, they're talking to him, you know, oh, Andy Dalton and the Jags, oh, it's pretty much a done deal. Well, he's with the Cowboys now, right? Like, it doesn't mean Like, oftentimes when the media talks about a player being traded or signed, it'll happen, but it's not with the team that everybody thinks. And look, the Cowboys came way out of no one brought up the Cowboys for Andy Dalton.
You're absolutely correct. We went through the Andy Dalton board, and we said, hey, he might not go to either the Patriots. Nah, that was wrong. Jaguars, we saw the Lions move. We're like, nah, you know, and that's the thing, Gabe, exactly what you said. That's why the thing is you got to take these reports with a grain of salt. And I'm actually really surprised. You know, I understand, but this is classic Jerry Jones, though. You talk about a team with a situation where he's basically held up players before, the Ezekiel Elliott situation. It's almost to me like if there's no drama, this guy's not living. It's almost like everything you need to do in life, like having a normal day where you go have a bacon and egg breakfast with your wife and go for a walk, that's not good enough. I need something bad to happen. I need somebody to
trip and fall. But this is a good signing, in my opinion.
And no, I have no problem with the signing. I have a problem, though. You've created a monster now. Even though Dalton will be a backup, the Dak Prescott deal, working on the franchise tag and all this other stuff, this is the problem, Gabe. You give an impression, like we talk about with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, that to Dak Prescott, well, you know, you're all right. You don't win the big game. We bring in Andy Dalton. He went to TCU, you know, big solid veteran there. It gives the message, and this is the problem with the Cowboys, they always keep their players on edge because it almost seems like, yeah, we'll just go in a different direction. And Jerry likes to play games with his players, and that's not good for business, in my opinion.
No, it's a good point. And he does like to play games. And I don't know if he likes to play games, if he's doing it deliberately to mess with players, if he does it for the attention, he thinks it's good that people talk about his organization almost, you know what I mean? He's like, well, people are talking about us, right? And it keeps our name out there and sort of wink, wink, oh, I'll give him the money in the end anyways. Don't worry about it. And it usually plays out like that. But Andy Dalton can play.
I know
he
did.
He didn't just sign like this scrub guy. So now suddenly, you know, to me, you did just send a message to Dak Prescott.
Yeah,
you just brought in Andy Dalton. And listen, so, you know, Dez Bryant, you know, at first I was thinking Dez, like, you know, what do you know? Stop talking all the time. You're not even on the team, Dez.
Yeah.
But Dez Bryant tweeted, but he has a point. He goes, nothing against Andy Dalton because I think he's a great player, but the Cowboys are extremely out of line. Pay Dak. I watched the Cowboys pay Tony twice, once without a winning record. I guess the Cowboys view in the quarterback position as a plug-in piece because of the dominant offense. Dez Bryant, I was told a lot of things before that ended up false. Dalton's been a starter his damn near his whole career. When people say, oh, flashpoint, Dalton's not a threat to Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant saying he is.
Yes.
And it's hard to say you're not, and especially the type of guy, Cam, like you said, Mr. Jones, you know, Andy Dalton's going to come in here.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's like Dak Prescott's not under contract suddenly. It's like a message which is sent pretty much. Hey, Dak, hey, we'll go with Andy Dalton. We like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Andy Dalton would come in, gee golly shucks, I'm listening. And he's been there before. Let's remember one thing, what Cincinnati did to him, right? They put in Jeff Driscoll. They put in Jeff Driscoll ahead of it. I remember, Andy Dalton, he's at the tail end or whatever. And you know what? He dealt with it. He wasn't happy about it. He told his agent, I'm eventually out of Cincinnati. But he could have made a way bigger stink. Because that team, Gabe, they were going nowhere anyway. They could have played Dalton, whatever. But, let's take a look at our
young perfect spot for him. I mean, yes, if you're Dalton, you're already worked out. Yes. But if you remember, I called Dalton going back to Dallas to play in the XFL.
not for the Cowboys.
I said he's going to go to Dallas, but I said XFL. I said, he'll probably end up on that Dallas team in a couple of years. He'll be living there. Like, but I didn't think that Dallas team would be the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
so it's $3 billion. Yeah, it could be up to seven.
Though. Gabe, you're right, though. The thing is, look at the intangibles. Andy Dalton comes into a winning situation. He's finally out of Cincinnati. He could work for the job. They don't have Dak Prescott under contract. They have a great offensive line. He got murdered. He's not as mobile as he once been. But if you give Andy Dalton time, and they picked up CeeDee Lamb, things get very, very interesting. What is Dak Prescott's problem? Accuracy a lot of the time. Missing receivers open. I remember him and Michael Gallup, how many times they were not on the same page when Gallup made a move and was breaking 6 yards past
the knee. Dak does not throw a good deep ball, and now the Cowboys have all this speed. It's true.
And Andy Dalton can. He can. Even though he's an old guy, he can get it there, right? So we have that's the thing. Now are you dividing the room? Hey, maybe Dalton's the guy. Maybe Dak's the guy. It's just very interesting. More drama in Big D.
Yeah, you know, but honestly, and, you know, I look forward to Kurtz's take on this, actually. We'll get Kurtz on this week to talk about this. He brought it up, and it was a good point from Kurtz about this year, almost probably more than ever, not that you don't need a backup quarterback every year, but that you need backups in every position for real now, man. All right, you need depth, but especially in this situation that we're in. Let's say Dak Prescott got coronavirus, and then he's gone for 14 days, right? But that's what I'm saying. So the season's still playing. The Dallas Cowboys can't say, well, excuse me, guys, can you postpone our game because Dak Prescott's sick right now? He'll be okay, but he's gone for 17 days now or 21 days.
Yep.
No, you better have someone that can come in and step up. And it's funny because we talked a lot about this team recently, actually, and I've always wondered about it, actually. The Cowboys have never really had a competent backup quarterback. I can think back to pretty much John Kitna. Remember when Kitna was there? He was all right.
Yes, Kitna. Yeah, you're right though. Like Cooper Rush. Like they've been making a joke of a mockery of the backup quarterback position for years. There's no denying it. You're right. John Kitna was actually their best backup that could actually play football.
Oh, they could go in there and bad guys like Texas A&M, Prairie View guys, and just rolling the dice and not even caring. And even Moore wasn't any good.
He
wasn't going to be a good backup. So to me, the Dallas Cowboys, I like what they're doing. And to be honest, a lot of people were pushing this for Buffalo. And I'm glad because I don't want the distraction and stuff like that with him and Allen there. Because that's the problem. Andy Dalton's good enough not just to be standing there holding a clipboard. The thing is, fans won't really be calling for him. Oh, we want Dalton, right? But once he gets a chance, he could be okay. But listen, if you're Andy Dalton, you're moving back home. You're on the Dallas freaking Cowboys now.
Yeah, he's happy.
And, you know, you're getting, you know, $3 to $7 million to move back home. This is your new career sort of kick around now as those one-year deals come into place.
Yeah, he's one ginger that's winning, Gabe, not me. Big Ginger, back in Big D, he's happy. You said it. Good money back at home seems like a good deal. Like, Dalton must be smiling, like, ear to ear right now. He's like, thank God. Cincinnati's got their guy. He gets to go back to Texas. Win.
Yeah, and Cincinnati, he's not going to have to worry about them going 1-15 again. Exactly. Which they probably could, actually. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, I don't know. You're only going to see what Joe Burrow brings to the table, but I don't think he's just going to light up the National Football League. He's going to struggle at first. The Bengals are going to struggle. All right, we'll talk more NFL football. Get on the Great SB Nation Radio. Game Time just continues.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Assistant continues. I am Gabe Brenci, throwing it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, SB Nation Radio. You can catch us weekdays at 6 right here on SB Nation Radio. Following Scotty Farrell, who goes coast to coast. We can't wait until there's games going coast to coast. We were talking about Major League Baseball earlier, and baseball, for one reason or another, now believes that, I don't know, I guess, because, hey, look, it's sunny out. Why don't we just play? Preferably, we'll play in the stadiums. Yeah, preferably. Well, preferably, I'd have $6 million in my bank account right now. I don't. So
that's the best baseball, like nine plans, the preferred plan. Well,
the preferred plan.
So it sounds like my phone provider, the preferred plan. Like, what do I get?
Your preferred plan, Cam, is to sell your house for $2.2 million.
Yes, that's my preferred plan. I might get six as is. 100,000.
It's not bad, actually. It's
no, yeah. We'll see. That's a good number. As is.
So you look at Major League Baseball, and there's definitely a push. We talk about the political pressure. It seems like, as far as politics is concerned, like, you notice, like, Trump and Mitch McConnell, they're not calling Gary Bettman saying, "You got to start playing, man." Thank you, man. It's like, yeah, Gary, good luck with that. If you guys play, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, the NFL and baseball, like, baseball really isn't America's pastime anymore. And football is the most popular sport in America, right? It's sort of, it's funny, like, hockey, like, people think, like, Canada, what's the national sport? Lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse.
Canada's not even that good at lacrosse either.
actually, the native reserve teams are very, very strong. But you're right, Gabe. Yes, it could be better for your national game.
It's like your national pastime. It's not like, you know what I mean? I never played lacrosse. You know what I'm saying?
I did. It's very, very vicious game. Very tough. The worst thing about lacrosse is you hang in front of the net like hockey, and you got a 150-mile-an-hour Indian rubber ball hit you square in the gut, and you got a grapefruit in your stomach. You look like you're pregnant. No, I learned the hard way. I'm like, I better not stand in front. What an idiot.
I was a hockey bully. I didn't fear the puck. You know, I was fine with it and stuff. Yeah. Soccer goalie. Soccer goalie. Yeah, whatever. Soccer goalie, actually, you'd be surprised, Cam. Like, you figure ass, no big deal. Yeah, some of these Italian kids can kick the ball, man. I told you, we made it to the championship. We beat, like, a bunch of crappy high schools, and then we finally had to play, like, we had to go to, like, the Italian district. It didn't end well. Like, we lost, 11-0 or something. Like, literally, that was the goalie. Yeah. Like, I basically walked off. Like, at the end, I didn't take the ride back on the bus with the team because they left me to drive.
Yeah, they hung you out. See you, Gabe. See you next year.
I remember when I was a kid, I was all decked. I was covered in mud and stuff. It was raining. And it wasn't, like, fun. Like, you figure out how much fun is that? You were playing soccer in the rain. No, it wasn't fun at all, Cam. No, it was cold, windy. I was the goalie, and they were scoring, like, every 3 minutes.
Yeah, no,
I couldn't stop it, bro. There was, like, 2-on-0s and stuff. But here, tell you, I took a wet soccer ball off the head, bro. It wasn't fun.
I remember once we were playing soccer, too. And it was hailing. And the refs, like, back in the day, they didn't stop unless there was, like, thunder and lightning and, like, the kids could get electric. I came off, like, we were all bleeding. Like, our legs were cut up with ice and stuff. It was like, what the hell's going on here? Arms all shredded. It's like, yeah, don't worry, kids. You got oranges at halftime. I'm like, hey, oranges. Thanks. Anyway, you're right. You're right about soccer, man.
It's peaches
for me. Yeah, orange slices in the big Tupperware bin.
So Major League Baseball talking about preferably. And, you know, we talk about the soccer leagues. The soccer leagues, you know, they're trying to come back right now. Players are still getting the virus. That's the whole thing. Like, just because it's sunny out, like, we're in this new mode, and I see our boy Camera2Drew. And shout out to Camera2Drew on Twitter right now. As Drew just tweeted moments ago, he goes, "I guess since it's nice out, social distancing doesn't apply anymore."
Exactly.
Right. So it's funny that we're just in this land, but you and I talked about it. I don't understand why they don't go with the Florida Arizona idea. I really don't. Florida's open for business. You don't have any problems there. The governor will be happy. Major League Baseball players, even then, they can't complain. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I get Mike Trout and Clayton Kershaw. You guys got hot wives and, you know, you're hundreds of millions of dollars. You're not going and living in quarantine. I get it. But you can't complain about, oh, yeah, honey, we have to move to where we go for spring training every year. We're going to live there for 4 months and just stay by the pool, stay home. It makes perfect sense. Like, this schedule about playing in stadiums, you're making your life harder. Like, the NFL can pull this off because that's in October.
Exactly. Yeah, like, no, baseball.
I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
No, I don't know what they're thinking either. But it's more of a risk.
Yeah, I just want to say, so as far as where it's political pressure, bro. It's political pressure. Like, symbolically, baseball represents America. You know what I mean?
especially this time of the year. Like, look at this time of the year. We're in May. This is
Fourth of July type thing.
Barbecue, like baseball.
Yes, hot dogs, barbecue, baseball, fireworks.
Yes, it's Americana. Like, you can't have like this time of the year without
baseball. The election is in November, right? If there's no sports, if there's only UFC and NASCAR and stuff, that means that we're not open for real. Yes. If there's baseball, there's hope. It makes people watch TV without watching the news and getting depressed and getting angry and blaming people. And then football coming back. Hey, look.
That's right? Everything.
Like, so that's what I'm saying. So politically, they're not putting pressure on the NBA. Mitch McConnell's not calling Adam Silver. Oh, you guys got to go to Orlando and play the NBA playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you something, and we went over this again.
They're getting calls to Rob Manfred. Manfred's getting calls.
Yeah, Manfred's, you could tell. Like, it's very easy to figure out, too. If baseball comes with a plan every day we're doing the damn show, that means pressure. This plan. Now, Matt, let's do another. Throw something else at the wall. I'm not sure about this one. Stadiums, our own. Maybe. But that's the thing, Gabe. Look at baseball. Every time we do the show, baseball basically is on plan number 13 right now, where the last time we had a nice discussion about the NBA, we both agreed with the Orlando bubble idea. Perfect. Disney community, you have the park. You got the places. Perfect. So baseball, basically, they're telling you, we don't really have a plan right now. We don't know what the hell we're doing. And hopefully, if we just keep on throwing these out there, one of them will work.
Yeah, but I don't understand, like, their logic in this. Yeah. And it's a dumb story. Like I said, this latest report, preferably they're going to play in their home stadium. Like, yeah, preferably the UFC wouldn't hold three cards in the same arena in an empty arena in Jacksonville. But they are.
Exactly.
Like, at least, like, and even Dana White, who is, like, really, like, in, you know, he doesn't care about this thing at all.
He wants it open. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And even he, even he realizes, yeah, I can only do this in a few places.
Yeah.
Like NASCAR. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, baseball, deal, like, you know, you've got the cards on the table. And one card says Arizona, another card says Florida. They're good cards.
I agree.
Those are your cards. Your card doesn't say Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a card that says Yankee Stadium. I don't see a card that says Shea Stadium.
You're right.
How are they playing in Toronto?
What?
Toronto's this. How are they going to play in Toronto? You're going to fly through? Like, you know, Toronto's not even open until the end of June. Like, it's just... And Toronto is like Canada's a little slower to reopen. They're more cautious about it. So I'm just stating, like, the traveling is just a non-start. I don't even know why they want to do this. Like, why would you guys want to fly around the country all the time in this?
Yeah, no, it's baffling, Gabe. And good point by you. It's actually interesting just looking at the regional politics for where I am in Canada. Yeah, they're not screwing around. Like, everybody, people are giving Ford a lot of pressure right now, and I got to hand it to the guy. Like, he's made a lot of crazy things. Like, hey, man, let's do Buck a beer. But he's not budging on this. He's like, listen, morons, we've gone this far right now. You think we're just going to open up every barber? He's like, screw you. And they were talking about the baseball and the hockey, you know, America team. So he's like, put the brakes on, man. Let's get some better numbers for the next month or two. We'll go reconvene.
You're exactly
and
right.
Stuff out. Come
and he's
on.
A conservative and a big time conservative.
Yes, yes.
Right? And even he's like, guys, what's the point if we open everything, all the gains that we made, it's going to come back.
Exactly.
Right. And also, it's interesting. I was reading, I don't know if it was the Montreal Gazette, or so, but same thing. It was, you know, it might have been TSN.ca, whatever, but somebody placed a call actually to the customs and basically the government about it. Yeah. And it was like, even off the record, is there exceptions for, like, basically right now, if Kyle Lowry wanted to come back to Toronto and go practice at the Toronto Raptor practice facility, can he do it? No. They told him no. Like, they actually made a call. Like, listen, can the NBA guys come? You know, don't tell anyone this sort of, you know what I mean? Like, because the border is closed unless you're a citizen on both sides, U.S. or Canada. You got to be a citizen or an essential worker. So essentially, like, you know, basically you're a nurse. You're going to help, like, in New York.
Worker.
You're going to Toronto. Doctors. Yes. You're a truck driver delivering goods that's needed right now. You know what I mean? Kyle Lowry needing to work out at the practice facility is not essential.
I agree. Right?
So they said no. But you remember, and it was the same thing, Ken. We laughed at it. We said, oh, yeah, I remember at the NBA, oh, players can now go practice at their facility starting May 1st. I said, yeah, that's good for the Atlanta Hawks in Georgia. Who else? Like, they're not even, like, it was just so stupid. Like, how these, like, I don't know. Like, between the doctors, the politicians, the commissioners, seems like the only smart people are like the actual athletes now.
Yeah, no, you're
like
right.
The
no,
players are the only one that asked like the bigger question. Can we do this? Is that safe? Yeah, so, how am I going to get there? They have legitimate questions.
So what teams that you're right? Atlanta Hawks, Orlando Magic, Miami Heat. Maybe Texas, Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks aren't even playing anymore. They're not even in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So in other words, so it's an unfair advantage right now for the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic.
Yes, it is.
They could be at the gym right now, technically, right? But they can and it can't. If I don't know. The NBA hasn't been deemed an essential service like the WWE.
That's the best. We must have wrestling.
We must. We must. So look, NASCAR, they did the same thing in North Carolina. In which they stated it's essential. Like, we need it. It's happening. We were talking with Steve Merrill about this. It's going to be interesting, Kev. Like, put it this way. Like, NASCAR is going to do what the UFC is doing. Like, NASCAR is going to have, like, three races at the same track in a week. Like, they're not going to go, like, from one place Saturday. Like, it's a lot of trucks. Like, a rock show. It's like Slipknot times 100. All the rigs with the cars.
It's a brilliant idea because I understand. Here's the thing, people. Sure, we'd like to see different tracks. Sure, you'd like to see. We talked about a cookie cutter versus this type of track, whatever. But when push comes to shove, wouldn't you just rather have damn sports? Wouldn't you rather have the same thing? So sometimes you just got to think. I like the scenario, Gabe. You're right. You do it. You bang it off at the same one. You don't have to worry. And know what? They'll learn, too, the first time. Hey, this is what was good. This is and you have the same parameters that you could go over again. Kind of like an algorithm, right? You know, first time, it's like we throw all the information in. Okay, first time was great. And we're at the same place with the same people and the same crew. Makes total sense to me.
You know, Steve Merrill, who's a great NASCAR capper.
He is.
You know, you're a lifelong Virginian, right? He grew up in Virginia. So you grew up in Virginia, you know NASCAR. Mm-hmm. And he's very excited about this, actually, in which he was stating for betting purposes. Basically, look, you know, NASCAR and golf betting, and Cam's a big golf bettor, and I bet more NASCAR. And very similar, we always talk about it, Cam, right? Same type of odds, you know, you're getting value at 8-1, 6-1.
Yep.
The only thing is NASCAR, the same guys generally do win. There's a pocket of about 5 or 6 guys. The golf is sort
you
of
get
more
way
bad.
More underdogs. You could have 100-1 and 80-1. Yeah, it doesn't happen in NASCAR.
But there's similarities as we talk about. You know, you and I talk about horse racing, you know, the horse for the course, so to speak. Golfers. Certain golfers, certain grass, certain directions. Yep. It plays better for a left-hander. It plays well a short game, right? We see this. Certain golfers are better. It's the exact same thing, Cam, for NASCAR drivers. It just is. Like, some guys are better on a cookie cutter. Some guys are better short track guys. You know what I mean? They're not all robots. They're going to be better or worse at some things. And we talk about a lot of these tracks that they're going to be running on. We call them the cookie cutter tracks, and it's really the better car. Right, because you know you're going around and around. Like the short stuff, you got to maneuver. Right, the road racing, it's like, ooh, you actually got to turn right sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's like you're actually driving. These like cookie cutter races, it's just a war of attrition. Who's got the better car? Who's got the better like you know strategy? Who's got the better luck? But from a betting perspective, Ken, you get the data. So imagine like you got to bet a golf course. Imagine if they played like the 3 times in a row on the same golf course. You'd start to get a handle on it, wouldn't you? Be like, oh, this guy, you know what I mean? So from a betting perspective, we're going to have a lot of data at our hands here.
Excellent point, right? Yeah, that's the thing. You throw it in the supercomputer, this guy, first, second, fifth, like you go, oh, man, he's just basically money for a top 5 or top 10. Now, it's kind of like the Masters, Gabe. Why did Mike Weir win the Masters? It's a left-hander's paradise. If you're left-handed, you can cut the ball. You go right to left on a lot of those holes. The dog legs are right to left. Very easy for a left-hander to get around Augusta. And they say it's hard when you shoot the ball the other way. For left-to-righters, it's very, very difficult. So left-handers felt comfortable there. I'm with you. I agree with the NASCAR, too. And on these tracks, like, we should be able to nail some winners then with all that information there if they're going to the same place.
We got a lot of racing, guys. So get this. So Sunday, NASCAR.
Sunday.
Live from Darlington. 3:30 Eastern. So it's coming, guys. Couple
right
of weeks. It's
day.
Coming.
Perfect.
So Sunday, May 17th, 3:30 Eastern. NASCAR is back. 400 miles of racing from Darlington, South Carolina. And then on Tuesday night, it's the Xfinity Series. Don't forget about the Xfinity Series. And the drivers, there's going to be a lot of the good drivers in this because they're going to want the money. They're going to want they're going to want the data on the track. They're going to want the track time. So we have racing, and you can bet on Xfinity as well. So you have racing on Sunday, May 17th, Cup Series. Tuesday, May 19th, Xfinity Series. Wednesday, May 20th, Cup Series.
It sounds what is this? Every day?
Yeah. So yeah, basically, we got races Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday. Four races in 7 days.
That's a lot of room.
And yeah, three of them are NASCAR races. One of them is the Xfinity Series, Cup Series. But the first one up is 400 miles. And then on Wednesday, they're going 500 kilometers. That's how they mix it up.
That's about kilometers.
This is from the official NASCAR. It says distance, 400 miles, Sunday, May 17th. Wednesday, May 20th, Cup Series, Darlington, same track, 500 kilometers. And then they roll into to Charlotte on Sunday, May 24th. They ain't playing around, Ken. 600 miles.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of car. 600 miles is a lot, man.
Bro, that race starts at 6 o'clock on Fox Eastern Sunday night. 600 miles. It's going to be until 2 in the morning.
I was going to say, like, till midnight, right? Like 11, 12 at least.
If we're lucky.
Hey, people need programming.
If you're lucky. All right, game time decisions. Of course, you can get us right here weekdays at 6. And don't forget about my podcast, Marencio Unfiltered, over at Apple, iTunes, and Spotify, SB Nation Radio. Get on the grid. Bring it.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.